Let's just pray. If you've all got this stuff, let's just take a moment and just pray. Father, we really want to thank you for every opportunity that you grant us to study your word, to hear your word. Lord, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so, God, we pray that as we listen to your word, Lord, as we together hear the word, even as I speak, even as I, Lord, pass on what, Lord, you have laid on my heart this morning. I just pray that, Lord, let faith arise. Lord, faith to come closer to you. Faith to seek you more. Faith to trust you, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you and bless your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I want to start with a question. Nothing. Big about this question. It's a very simple question. How important is worship to you? I'm not asking nobody to answer. I'm just asking you, okay? Just laying this out for you, just for you to think. And what is the place of worship in your life? Or how do you perceive worship? Okay? Keep thinking about it. As the worshipers of the living God, I believe these questions are crucial. And time and again, we need to ask ourselves, why do I worship? How important is worship of God to me? And I know that worship is not just happening here. Worship is a lifestyle. It's an ongoing thing. I'm not asking about this gathering on a Sunday. You know, the way you worship or the place of worship in your life or how you perceive worship will show you what you really think of God. Okay? Are you with me? Or it will show you the kind of God you are worshiping. Okay? The way you think about worship, your understanding of worship will tell you what kind of God you're worshiping. Or what do you really think of God? So this morning, I want to briefly look at how David, the psalmist, the great king of Israel, who written so many songs and sung by in the temple of the Lord. I just want to look at one of the psalm, which we read already in the beginning of the service, Psalm 103. So I'm not going to read the whole psalm again, but I want to give you the brief outline of this psalm. And just to see, we're going to explore how David perceived worship, what David thought about worship. And so this Psalm 103 is divided into three big themes. Okay, the structure is very simple. If you read it, you will get it yourself. So the first part is personal reason to worship God, verses 1 to 5, Psalm 103, 1 to 5, personal reason to worship. And the second half is universal reason to worship God, that is from verses 6 to 19. And the final part is calling all God's creation to worship God, which has been from verse 22. But this morning, we're only going to look at the first part of this big psalm, Psalm 103, which is in verses 1 to 5, the personal reason to worship God. But before we look at the reasons David gives, for the reason that he gives for his reason to worship God, for his reason to bless God, I want to look at how authentic or true worship looks like. Are you with me? What does it mean? What is true or authentic worship? Let me read this psalm again, first five verses. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there or just listen to me. Psalm 103, 1 to 5. And I'm going to read first from an NIV version that I use. And then we will read from one more version. But let me read this. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I want to read from another version of the Bible, the ESV version. If you have it, it's fine. As I find it a bit more liveliness or exuberance to which I don't see in an NIV version. I just want to read that to you. And this is I love this, the way it's translated. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Are you with me? "Bless the Lord, O my soul." There's a bit more oomph in it, isn't it, when you read that? At least I find that, okay? "Bless the Lord, O my soul." It may be because I shout too much. Okay, I like shouting. I'm sorry about that. If you have a problem with your hear. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I wanted to notice the word "bless," or just want to look at the word "bless," or in some of the version it's "praise," and the word "bless" or the word "praise" comes from the Hebrew word "barak." That's the best I can pronounce. Barak. Can somebody say that? Barak. Okay. The word "barak." There is a bit power in there, isn't it? Barak. Maybe Barack Obama got that name from there. Who knows? Barak, which means adore. Yes, it means bless. It means to praise, but it also means to adore. It also means to kneel. It means to salute. So let me submit to you this morning that authentic or true worship of God takes place where his people who are called by his name adore him, praise him, come before him in humility and honor him. Are you with me? Authentic or true worship, let me say this again, takes place or happens where his people adore their God, where his people praise him, where his people come before him and bow down and kneel before him and honor him. You know, I can adore someone only if I really love them, isn't it? I adore my wife, and don't judge me now. I adore her because I love her. I adore my children because I love them. Of course, I do not worship them. Okay, let me get that clear. I adore them because I love them so much. But when it comes to worshiping God, you cannot truly worship him if you do not love and adore him. Are you with me? Or he is, and you know, for what he is or who he is and what he has done for you. Are you with me? You cannot worship him if you don't love him, if you don't adore him. Now remember, worship doesn't begin when we gather on a Sunday. I said that earlier on. Rather, worship should start or begin in the privacy of your personal life. Are you with me? And at every level of your personal life, worship should permeate every area of your life. Are you with me? In a corporate worship that we do just on a Sunday after Sunday, or when we meet on a Tuesday, you know, of corporate worship of believers, it must come out of our own individual private time of worshiping, adoring, and loving, and praising, and kneeling, and honoring our God. Are you with me? The only time you worship God is when you come to church on a Sunday and And when the worship leader or the song leader leads us in a song or two, or when they tell you off, then that is mere religion. Let me warn you. Because worship of God is born out of a relationship with Him on a day-to-day basis. Are you with me? If your corporate worship of God is flowing out of your deep personal adoration and praise of God, then you won't need anybody to coax you or tell you to worship. Are you with me? If our corporate worship, our gathering when we come to worship, if it's coming out of our own personal walk with the Lord, our own personal time of adoration and devotion of our God, then it will not be hard for us. And yes, there are times we go through seasons in our life. Yes, we find it difficult. But let's not give up on meeting with God in our personal life and worshiping Him and adoring Him. Do we really adore and praise and honor God all times? Because authentic worship takes place where His people adore Him and praise Him and honor Him in humility. Secondly, authentic or true worship of God take place when I'm wholly present before Him. Are you with me? Authentic or true worship takes place or happens when I am wholly before Him. You know, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Again, the Hebrew word used for soul is nephesh. Can somebody say that? Nephesh. Nephesh. Come on, shout it out. Those of you are sleeping. Nephesh, which means it's self, which means life, which means my personhood, which means my appetite, my mind, my desire, my emotion, my passion. Another phrase that David uses is that he says, my inmost being, or in some translation, all that is within me. And again, the meaning of that phrase is something that is central to me. Are you with me? Something that is central to me. Something that is who I am or my gut. You know, we have heard people saying my gut feeling. Have you heard that? It's something that is coming deep within me. In other words, David is speaking to his self. When he says, "Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me," he's speaking to his self, his life. He's speaking to his appetite. He's speaking to his mind. He's speaking to his desires. He's talking to his emotions, his passion, and everything within him, and telling them and ordering them to adore this God, to worship this God, to honor this God. Are you with me? It is to say that all that I am, all that I have, all of me must adore, worship and praise and honor my God, and must be present to Him at all times. It was Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, said, "Worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by His holiness, the nourishment of mind with His truth, the purifying of imagination by His beauty, the opening of the heart to His love, the surrender of will to His purpose, and all of this gathered up in adoration." Are you with me? Worship, authentic worship, involves everything that is within me. Worship, or true worship to God, should involve my emotions. It should involve my passion. It should involve everything that I am and everything that God has made to be. And nothing should stay back. The psalmist Paul in Romans 12 says, "Therefore I urge you, brother, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. A worship is not when we come and clap and dance and sing. If our emotions, our mind, our intellect, our very being, the depth of who we are is not involved, we are just doing lip service. Are you with me? And yes, we all express our emotions differently. Some of us may just be quiet before the Lord. It doesn't matter. Some of us may just kneel down quietly. Some of us may jump up and down. Some of us may raise our hand. Some of us may want to shout hallelujah like me. Some of us may want to clap loudly. Some of us may want to dance. Some of us may want to run around out of joy. Whatever, however you express, as long as it is coming from your gut, as long as it is coming from within you, and where all your passion, all your mind, all your intellect, everything is involved in adoration of this God who is the creator of the universe and who is alive and is among us. Hallelujah. You know, God is not interested in just part of me. Are you with me? Or my leftovers that I can bring before Him. Authentic worship of God demands all of me. My soul, my life, my all. Not just part of me. The hymn writer in this famous hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Course," it's the fourth verse says, "Where all the realms of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Are you with me? Let me read that again. "Where all the realms of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, so love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all, not my leftovers, not some of my emotions, not some of my strength, not some of my intellect, not some of my abilities, but my all." He demands all. As I've said in the past, quoting Hudson Taylor, famous missionary, Christ is either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all in your life. Are you with me? Christ is either Lord of all. Either you are surrendering all of you, or you're giving Him nothing. The woman who broke the alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus, as we read in the account of Mark chapter 14, It was worth a year's wages. And probably all that this woman had was just that. But what did she do? She poured out. It says she broke it. She didn't just simply give a little, as few pints. It says she broke it. Are you with me? She broke that alabaster jar. And what did she do? She poured it on Jesus. I would have been a bit shocked if somebody pours oil on my hair. I hate oil on my hair anyway. But this woman didn't hold nothing back. She broke maybe the only income she may have had. Maybe, we don't know, you know, it talks about maybe she was living a sinful life, whatever. We don't know how she got this money, but you know what she did? She broke it and poured it on the Lord, as a sign of our complete surrender to Him. Am I wholly present before my God? Or am I just giving Him the leftovers on the weekend? Is my life holy? My job, my family, all that I am, my finance, my everything? Do I worship God with all that I have and all that I am? Thirdly, authentic or true worship of God takes place when we acknowledge and recognize God's holiness. Is God calling now? The God I worship is not some ordinary piece of metal or wood or clay that I can just mold and craft and create the way I want. Hear me. The God I know, the God I worship, I serve, is not someone who is not just a figment of my imagination. He's not somebody I can just mold and make it to fit my way. He is holy. Are you with me? He is holy. He is beyond us. And the Bible says, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. The God I worship cannot tolerate what? Sin. The God I worship, as Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, he says, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. He is holy. In Isaiah, when prophet Isaiah saw him, God, in a vision, what does he say in Isaiah 6, 5? He said, woe to me, I cried. He said, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. The God we worship, remember, he is holy. Yes, he is our Father. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. And the Bible says that he is our friend. He is our help in need. But don't think that God is your servant. He is holy, almighty God. And when we worship him, when we worship him truly, we worship him with recognizing who he is. Are you with me? His holiness. His holiness. So let me just recap. What are the three ways? What are the three ways authentic worship is done? First, those of you sleeping. Authentic worship takes place where? Sorry? I'm getting bits and pieces from everywhere. Authentic worship is what? Takes place where? Where people adore him and love him. That's not my notes, Linda. That's a quiz. Don't pick it up from there. Secondly, authentic. You know I love you, isn't it? My sister. Secondly, authentic worship is what? What is it? Authentic worship takes place when we wholly dedicate or commit ourselves to God, nothing holding back. And thirdly, authentic or true worship of God takes place when we acknowledge, thank you, his holiness. Are you with me? And fourthly, authentic or true worship of God flows out of our immense gratitude towards God for what he has done for us personally. Are you with me? Authentic worship, let me say this again. Authentic worship flows out of our immense gratitude towards God for what he has done for us. And he has not stopped doing that, for he is continually working in our life. The reason we praise and bless and adore and honor and kneel before God is not just for because who he is. Yes, we worship him because who he is, and he is holy, yes. But we also worship him because of out of immense gratitude for what he has done for us. Are you with me? Hallelujah. We read in 103 Psalm 6 to 22, I told you that's, and also in Psalm 104, you will see that David he's praising God for who he is, his glory, his majesty, his handiwork, his power, and his authority. But in 103, in the first few words, he begins with what? praising God for what he has done for him. Are you with me? He's praising. He says, for David, he says that, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not. He's speaking to himself. He's speaking to his mind. Are you with me, church? He's speaking to his passion. He's speaking to his desires and saying, listen, listen to me. I know I can go out of control and go out of the over the rail and do all kinds of crazy things. But you know what? I want to tell myself, no, I want my soul, my being to worship God because of all that he has done for me. Are you with me? What is David grateful for? In verse 3, 4, and 5, David tells us what he is grateful to God for. Let me read that again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And he goes on to say, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good thing, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So David is grateful to God for five things. What are they? First, forgives all my iniquity. I have a God whom I worship because I worship him because he's the one who has forgiven my sins. Secondly, he's the one who heals me from all my diseases. He's the one who redeems my life from the pit. He's the one who crowns me with steadfast love and mercy. He's the one who satisfies me with all good things and renews me to be like the eagles. Before I look at the benefits, let's remind ourselves, what are the four ways authentic worship is done? First, adoration. If it is one word, adoration. Secondly, with the whole being. Thirdly, acknowledging his holiness. Fourthly, for all his benefits. Let me look at briefly at each of them. The benefit of my soul that I've received from God, that you have received. The first one is, God has forgiven all my sin. I know there are times that we don't feel like God has forgiven me, but that's the truth. God has forgiven all my sin. Can you shout that aloud if you really believe it? Isn't that the exercise we've been doing in the grace course? That the Lord I worship, the God my Father, has forgiven me all my sins. You know, humanity's greatest threat is not coronavirus. Hear me. Humanity's greatest threat is not any kind of virus, but it is sin. It is sin. More people are perishing because of sin than coronavirus. Did you know that? But the government is never going to publish that statistics. No nation is going to publish that statistics, that more people are dying because of sin rather than coronavirus. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. So the good news is that there is a God who is our Savior and who alone can forgive us of all my sins. Amen. That's the good news, that I have a God in heaven. I have a heavenly Father who made a plan for me and made it possible for me to receive forgiveness. That's the good news. And it is important to remember that, as David said, he forgives me all my sin. That's so important. That emphasis is so important. All my sin, all my brokenness, all my curse, everything that I can think of that I've done. He says he has forgiven. It is done. It is finished. That's why in verse 10 of 103, David declares that God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. If he started keeping records of all our sins, we would be in big trouble. He's forgiven us all our sins. We never deserved, we never were worthy of his forgiveness, but God chose to forgive us through his son Jesus Christ and through his death on the cross. And that is why David cries out to his soul, and he knows more than anyone else. David knows, yes, he didn't have the revelation of Jesus Christ like you and I have. He knows more than anyone the mess that he had made. Not just one account, on three accounts, that the stuff that he has done. He knows more than anyone that he needed what? Forgiveness. He knew more than any one of us that he needed forgiveness. So how much more we should rejoice and adore and worship knowing that Christ has done it. He's done it for me. And there's nothing I need to do. He's done it on the cross for me as I put my trust in him. God has forgiven all my sins, and because of that, I adore him. I worship him. I know where I have been. I thank God that he has dragged me and put me on a solid ground, and I worship him. Secondly, the second benefit my soul has received from God is that God heals all your disease. You know, often when we think about healing, we're only thinking about our physical healing, aren't we? As soon as we read about healing in the Bible, we're only associating it with what? Just physical healing. Okay, or diseases like coronavirus, okay, or cancer. You know, listen, God can heal any disease, okay? He can heal. There's nothing is hard for him. He is indeed our healer. He can heal anything, but the healing that you and I need the most after we have been forgiven is from the effect of sin in our lives. Are you with me? The damage that sin has caused to our very being. That's what we need healing from. Because sickness will come and go. Well, one day we all have to die. That's the reality. One day this body is going and gone. Each day we're losing our strength, no matter how many days you go to gym, I don't care. But the more older you're getting, the more strength we are losing. We can only try to tidy ourselves up. That's all. But this is all going to fall apart one day. I'm not preaching gloom and doom, but this is the reality. What remains is what God has done to my soul. That he has restored me. He has healed me. And I await for a glorious body. And that's why I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So what do we do in return? In verse 57, Paul says, we thank God. He says, we thank God, we praise him and bless his holy name, for he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I am healed. Are you healed? We all are healed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean that when we are unwell, when we are sick, our bodies are failing, we should not pray and ask God for strength and his mercy and his grace. Keep asking, keep praying, and press on till you hear from the Lord. But know one thing, that you are healed. Because the greatest tragedy in your life was what sin caused in your life. And God has healed you the moment you turn to him. Are you with me? So God is not only the one who forgives me, he's the one who heals me. Are you with me? Thirdly, God redeems your life from the pit. You know, God not only just he forgives us and heals us and leaves us in the state we are, but God redeems our life from the pit. What do I mean that? You know, you and I know the pit that we've been, isn't it? You and I know where we have been. He redeems us from the pit of slavery, from the pit of hopelessness, from the pit of bondage, from the pit of condemnation and shame, from the pit of habits. He redeems us. He redeems our life from the pit of despair. You know, God had to pay a ransom. When it says redeem, that means there's been a ransom. There's been something had to be paid. Are you with me? He's redeemed us. How? He paid it. It was the costliest price that God the Father had to pay. He paid it through his Son. As 1 Peter 1:18-19, Peter says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defeat." He's forgiven us. He's healed us. God has redeemed us. There is enough reason for us to adore him. You have received enough benefits from God to bow down and fall down in humility and say, "God, have me all. Not just part of me, but take me completely. All I am, all I have, and all I am is yours. Lord, nothing holding back. Don't allow me to hold anything back. Because you are the one who's forgiven me. You are the one who has healed me. You are the one who redeemed me from that pit, from that bondage. And you paid the price. And so I honor you and I worship you." And fourthly, the benefit that David mentions that he has received and because of which he worships and adores God. God crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Are you with me? God crowns you. God not only forgives us, not only he heals us, not only he redeems us with a great price, God goes further. And what does he do? He crowns me with his steadfast love and mercy. Me who was nothing. Oh, David could say, I'm one who was just a shepherd boy. Even the family didn't want to recognize who he was when Prophet Samuel came to anoint. He knew where he came from. He knew where God picked him from. And he says, "You've crowned me with your steadfast love and mercy." You know, the word used for crown here in Hebrew does not mean the crown that you put on your head or the king, as a king. Rather, it means that he has surrounded you, or rather, it means that he's encircled you or to cover you. In other words, to barricade you or put a wall around you to protect you from every side from the attack of the enemy. Are you with me? And the love and mercy is the same word used in Psalm 23. His goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So hear me, church. His goodness and mercy it is not just following you, but it barricades you. It surrounds you. It protects you. It surrounds you and protects you from all the attack of the enemy. As long as you stay put and live in the love and the mercy and the compassion of God, no weapon forged against will prevail upon you. Are you with me? As long as you remain in humility, adoring this God in humility and with complete surrender, nothing, no harm can come near you. My God crowns me with steadfast love and mercy. And finally, God satisfies us with good things. so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Only God, hear me, only God can satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. Only He and He alone can satisfy the hunger that we have. The world and its pleasures can satisfy your flesh. Are you with me? The world and its pleasures can satisfy your flesh. Which is, by the way, perishing. The pleasure and the goods of this world leaves us what? More hungry, more thirsty. And in spite of all the effort, time, and money we put to receive this satisfaction, the world's pleasure only grants you momentary satisfaction. Are you with me? We do all that, and most of the time we're running and chasing things to do what? To satisfy this thing that is perishing. I'm not asking you to go and leave everything and go and live an ascetic life. No, don't get me wrong. What I'm talking about is that is everything that I have, all that I am, is it surrendered to Him as worship, as praise, and adoration to the God I know? So after God has forgiven all our sins and paid all the debt, and after bringing you into a place of security, God starts doing what? He's repairing you. Are you with me? With the good things, He's repairing you. God starts renewing you. He starts rebuilding you. Remember, we are work in progress. Are you with me? We are work in progress. God satisfies us with all good things because He is at work in my life. He is building me. He is rebuilding me. He is renewing me each day. He is, as Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He is renewing us. He is rebuilding us. He is replenishing us. He is repairing us. He knows the hurts that we have been through. Maybe others may not know what you've been through years ago, but your Father, your God who is in heaven, knows every part of your life, every story, every account, every pain, every joy, every heartache that you've been through, and He is at work and repairing your life. And He will not give up till the end. The one who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. And there will be a day when He will call you, come, welcome. Welcome, faithful and good servant. Welcome to my abode. He's working. He is our greatest architect. He is the planner of our life. We try to plan a lot of things for our lives, and we fall on our face quite often. But he is the one planning our lives. Let me tell you, you will never be disappointed. If you and I have given our lives to His plans, His purposes, we will never be disappointed. So what are the benefits you and I have received? Come on. What are the benefits? Tell me. I mentioned five. Forgiveness, that's the first thing. You've been forgiven all your sins. Yeah, not just part of your sin. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. Hey, listen, there are still some things in your life that God has not forgiven you. That's a lie. The moment, the day you said, Lord, forgive me, He has done what? He's forgiven you. That means all. Secondly, He's healed you. He's restored you. Thirdly, He crowns you. He surrounds you with His mercy, His love, His compassion. Fourthly, He redeems you. How does He redeem? Remember? He's paid a price for you. You are precious. Hey, listen to me. Look at yourself if you can. Say, I'm precious. I know some of you may have a name precious. Yes, you are maybe precious. But you are indeed precious. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't forget that. You are precious. And that is the reason God did not hold anything back when he decided to redeem you and forgive you and save you. Are you with me? And finally, he's at work. He's not stopped working. He satisfies. He alone can satisfy all the longings of your heart because he is at work. He is the master planner. He is the master architect who is building your life from inside out. He's not just doing some patchwork. Hear me. God is not in the business of patchwork. That's what we try to do, isn't it? When we go wrong, we try to patch things up. We try to do patchwork. And then after some time, it wears out and people can still see what's behind it. But when God does something, he doesn't do patchwork. He does what? Overall. Are you with me? And you know what? One day, that overall will finish. You'll get a brand new body. Imperishable. Imperishable. Are you with me? Are you with me? Shall we stand together? Shall we stand together? This is the Lord. This is the God we worship, church. This is the one we call our Savior. This is the one we call our Abba, Father. This is the one we serve and preach about. And so let's just worship. Can we just sing to him? Just worship him and praise him and just think of all that God has done for you. Think of all that he's done for you. And let's just give him all that we have. All that I am, let's give everything to God as we worship him. So let's sing. If you can lead us in any songs, Cheryl, Linda, just take it.